How's it going, folks? Welcome to episode 20 of the BB Cast, Wine Bargains Cast, in the middle of June 2015. Kind of getting back to our normal format, at least as far as news is concerned. With me this week is one of our regular contributors and always a good friend to have back here. Rick Yeager is back on the
show. Hey, thanks for having me.
You sound a little different than Joe. You sound you have a higher voice.
Yeah, just a bit.
Joe is out again this week, still taking care of some personal matters, and we hope to have him back very soon. And
yeah, he is dealing with some family business. Unfortunately, his father passed away, Bill Steinkamp. Some of you may have actually met Bill at conventions and things because he has been to several. Very sad to hear of his passing. And if you want to contribute in some way, a scholarship fund has been set up for his granddaughter, Joe's niece, Adeline, and we'll have the link in the show notes for you to be able to contribute to that if you would like.
That's a cool idea, you know.
Always I think that's a
lasting memory of
exactly
someone. Put that link in the show notes. I'll definitely be contributing to that. So if you're able to, that would be awesome. So, and Joe, again, wishing you the best. And one of these weeks, very soon, I'm sure we will have Joe back on this very show, which would be awesome to have as well. We have sponsors this week. We are brought to you by Hims. Your needs are our solutions. So thank you so much, Hims, for sponsoring us. That's hims-inc.com. And Mystic Access, where the magic is in learning. Stay tuned a little bit later in this show. We have a special promotion coupon code just for you, BBcast listeners. So stay tuned for that for some great stuff from Mystic Access. And we got a lot going on this week. Coming up later in this show, we have an interview with Chris Morey of Conversant Labs, and his brand is called Say Apps. These are apps that you can talk to with your voice, the first being one called Say Shopping, where you can actually do some shopping, and we will try to buy some things on his credit card or something. No, but we were going to talk about that and the future of voice recognition and voice apps coming up a little bit later in the show, so stay tuned for that. We have a new contest here. I should have got Patrick to do it. Maybe you can do a little bumper for this. It's the, you know, people say sometimes that we're supposed to be like the morning show or something, or they think we are. I don't think we are. But just to play to that, we have now the Blind Bargains Secret Sound.
Secret Sound.
So you stay tuned a little later in the show. No, don't play it yet, Patrick. No, not yet. Stay tuned. Later in the show, we will play you the Blind Bargains Secret Sound. And if you can identify who is making the secret sound, then you can win a power cube from SpeedDosh. It's a really cool device where you can plug in a whole bunch of things at once and some USB devices and all sorts of things. It's available over at SpeedDosh.com, and thanks to SpeedDosh for donating that. And listen a little bit later, you could win in the secret sound contest. I don't have a deep enough voice for that. Patrick's going to make that sound all weird now.
He should.
Secret sound.
But we did an Android show and an Apple show, and now we have a catch-up show because we did have a lot of news kind of piling up over the past couple of weeks, starting with NVDA 2015.2.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about this one. I don't know that Excel and exciting are usually used in the same sentence by most people, but I guess I'm weird.
Excellent.
Excellent. Yes. So there are several improvements to Excel, including support for charts and much in the way you would use a links list, you can now do NVDA F7 and look at formulas and various and sundry other types of data in a list for Excel. Also supporting Math Player, which is awesome. That was announced earlier this year, and it is available now.
CSUN, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's lots of other cool stuff in there as well.
You know, a lot of times it's the little things. We mentioned the little Google changed their search box to a little combo edit, and every screen reader that I saw had some sort of dealings with that. Because they just weren't
right, where it was echoing parts or as all
every
of it
single
as you
letter.
Typed. Yeah.
Now, they fixed that. Now, we have Joseph on Twitter saying that fixing that bug may have introduced a regression for Windows Live Mail. So that's always the challenge for trying to fix a bug, you create a new bug. Fix bug, you create a new bug. So we'll have to see what's going on there. Lots of other things you can read by paragraph and word now. There's hotkeys, or I think it's sentence. I'm sorry. You can read by sentence and word. There's hotkeys for that. Lots of other little, what was the word you use? Incendiary?
Yeah, something like that. Sundry, yes. Oh, various and sundry.
Oh, things. And sundry. Oh, okay. Yes. Got you. We you know, we try to be an educational show here too.
We should have the BB Cast word of the week.
Oh gosh.
This week is sundry.
I don't have Hound hooked up this week to do another thing just to figure out. I'm still digesting all the calories from the 9 or the 50 nuggets and all the things from the last show. But yes, so the changelog, as usual, is posted over on Blind Bargains. We've linked to it. Of course, you can download the latest version of NVDA if you use it. Definitely, I encourage you to donate to NVDA if you want to keep seeing great releases like this. This is it. You've seen it. So each one of these, they kind of do a release candidate, which means this is the new version that we think is ready to go, but there might be a thing or two that's still broken. And then that happens for a week or two. And then there's the actual release. This is now the final 2015.2. So again, you can find it on Blind Bargains. And speaking of, I have no segue for this.
Yeah, I was thinking of that too. I was like, there's
no segue to the next story. And then, back to Hims. Can you use the Smart Beetle? You could probably use it with NVDA.
Yeah, I bet you can. I would be very surprised if
you
did can't not
yet.
Support,
you can, I'm sure that it'll
you
come.
Will be able
and,
to
you know,
soon.
You see, there you go. And so the two products that I've talked about quite a bit, we've done interviews on both. Of course, Hims does sponsor us from time to time as well. But worth noting that the Blaze ET, which is the second in the Blaze series of audio players, one with the numeric keypad, and one that we did talk about a few weeks ago on this very show, is coming out. It should be released by the time you hear this, and as well as the Smart Beetle. So two products that have been talked about. That one's a 14-inch cell Braille display. So you can now get both of those. Incidentally, AT Guys does sell both of these Hims items as well. So if you are looking to purchase them, we would appreciate that. But definitely two of the more talked about devices of the year.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of Braille displays, this next story is actually kind of fascinating. I want to see what one of these looks like. And I also want to know how to pronounce the name of it. Canute, yes.
Canute? It sounds Canadian, but it's not.
Yeah, Canute. How about a Canute? With four lines of 28 cells of Braille, and it's a standalone display, and it's powered by a Raspberry Pi, and it's meant to be like a book reader, and they're licensing this such that other people can make modifications to it as long as those are given back to the community, which is really awesome. And how much is this? 440 pounds,
470
like pounds, almost
yeah,
700 US
700 bucks. It depends on how, I guess, how it's developed and things like that. And this is kind of the first version, but there are people out there. Andre Louis is quoted in the article. So of course, a lot of people know him. Big musician and all around tech guy over there in the UK. We talked to some others over there who have played with these things. Some discussion over the Blind Bargains Twitter about how real time this is or not. So it's a new product, and we're going to try to learn more about this one. If you've tested this thing out and can talk to us. We'd love to hear from you because it's another one in the long line of multi-line refreshables. That's kind of been the theme lately, but I think we're finally getting past this dream stage, and now we're actually getting to we actually have some actual devices coming out, at least people trying things.
Yeah, and it's like the year of not only multi-line displays but cheaper Braille. People are all about making cheaper Braille displays, and that's kind of cool.
Let's see, 28 cells times 4 is 112. So
right.
That's a third of the price of a 40 cell display and three times the cell. So it's about a tenth of the cost, a little more, 10% of the cost of a 40 cell Braille display. If it holds
right
up.
But of course you're not, as far as I know, you're not using this with a screen reader. This is just a standalone. You
but
load
the interface
stuff
is
on
all
it
open source, so
it.
I mean, it could be ported. There's no reason why this stuff couldn't be ported to NVDA. And this is one of those things too, back to NVDA. NVDA is big on experiments. So you could see if there's like even 50 of these out, all someone needs to do is write a driver for the thing, and next thing you know, people can play with it, and it'd be Canute, Canute. I don't think this is did I do it right? Yeah, Canute. Yeah. And I bet it's not the last time. It's from the UK, and
Bristol Braille.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Bristol Braille Works is the company,
and
of course, we got an article on Blind Bargains as and everything else, and you can see more about it. And like I said, we'll try to see what we can find. Not the only Braille news. This was kind of hit bigger a week or two back as well. Finally, more details coming out about the B2G. Remember the B2G?
Yeah.
I feel like that was, we talked about that on Blind Bargains cast negative 94 or something.
That's about right. I think it's been on several of the This Year in AT casts in that it was meant to be a story and yet nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened for a couple of years.
I'm looking back and I'm looking on the Blind Bargains archives. We did interviews at season 12 and season 13 about this.
Wow.
Wow. And then I think the last couple of years, we didn't even bother tracking and checking them down again. Like, all right, we're going to do another story about this phantom product. But now, at last, they're saying towards the end of the year, they're really kind of reaching out to people, the pre-orders, 20 cell Braille display for $2,500. So about $1,000 cheaper than any other 20 cell, Braille display note taker, running Android,
right,
full-fledged. One of the big things, they definitely want the Google Play services on board. And that's a big deal because one of the biggest faults of the APH note taker, the Braille Plus 18, was they never got the Google Play approval. So you can never.
Do we know which version of Android this is based on now? Because when we started, I mean, it was, I don't even know if ice cream sandwich
they
existed.
They haven't said
so
officially. No. I don't think it'd be anything less than KitKat and perhaps newer. One little nugget of that and a story that we'll get to next, by the way, Ricky, because I forgot to put in the show notes. the Bard app for Android just came out. And it requires Android 4.4. So that's,
and that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I think that you have to have a cutoff point somewhere.
Yeah.
And 4.4 is as good as any, really, to say, you know, this far or no farther. And I think the Android app, I'd be interested to know, you know, what the downloads were like in the first week for that, because it had been anticipated for such a long time. And, you know, now here we are. I'm wondering if people are using their old tablets for this, or if it's mainly people grabbing it for their phones, that kind of thing. I'm also curious about, I've not heard any discussion on this since we're talking about Braille, the Braille books in Bard, which used to be Web Braille. Those are supported for the iPhone app. So hopefully that is, it's working just as well with Braille back on Android.
I've seen a lot of feedback about the Android app, and some people are actually saying it's more stable than the iPhone app.
Interesting.
Still does not have a sleep timer.
That's
a universal
omission.
Very unfortunate. your little, your digital player has one, right? You know, most of your... of course, all your Blaze and your Victor and all them, they do.
Yeah, all those have them.
Yep. Yeah, that's a basic
It
V1
seems
feature.
Like a very odd thing to miss.
Yeah, it does. So to backtrack just a second, the Bard app for NLS, National Library Service in the U.S., you can download it now for Android if you haven't already. That was one of the things that happened while we were busy talking Apple, so we didn't put it on the Apple show. But it happened last week, and so it's interesting because with Google, you can see how many, they pretty much publish how many people have downloaded your app. So it's very easy to see. The Bard app, the iPhone, they said there was, 6,000 in the first month or first week or first few weeks.
Something like that, yeah.
You know, and but iPhone or on the iTunes, they don't really publicly publish their app statistics and things.
Right, but for Google, you can definitely look at this. And I haven't grabbed it for my poor Nexus 7 yet, but I intend to.
Your poor Nexus 7.
Yes. Back to Braille for a bit. It was a busy week for Braille, and actually, you know what? There is a song, and we'll try and find a link to this for the show notes. Based on All About That Bass, and it's all about that Braille, Braille.
I did hear this. Yes,
and includes the sound of a Perkins Brailler. So, we'll have to find the link for that because there has been lots of Braille news this week.
Because you know I'm all about that Braille, no print. I'm all about that Braille, no print. I'm all about that Braille, no print. I'm all about that Braille, Braille. Yeah, it's pretty clear. I read in grade 2, and I can use contractions just like I'm supposed to do. Cause I got those Braille skills that all the kids chase, and all the right tools, and all the right places. I'm all about that Braille, about that Braille. print. I'm all about that Brill, about that Brill. Because you know I'm all about that Brill.
HumanWare has discontinued support for the BrailleNote PK and Empower units. Yeah, so there are no longer any software keys for those, which means that if you were gonna update it and you hadn't yet, you can't.
Yeah, the only unfortunate thing to me is that there really was no advance notice given.
Yeah, I think it is definitely time to maybe discontinue.
I have no problem with them sunsetting this.
Yeah, sure, but
there should have been some notice. Yeah, the Apex came out in 2009. So, right. And the last Empower update was about three and a half years ago. But there was no notice given. So if you were trying, you know, if for some reason you had, you know, I was talking to a dealer or two offline that was, you know, saying that they were a little kind of blindsided by that. And so... You know, it's an easy kind of, you know, when you sunset your older products, you know, you kind of have to be a little cognizant. You know, I know people use older things. We get phone calls on AT guys, people using their Raylan Speaks still.
Wow, and, that's crazy.
Right. But you can, you know, you can still go to Freedom Scientific and download the latest Raylan Speak firmware if you have the right cables and everything to load it in.
Right.
But you could make it happen. And because HumanWare licensed essentially... their license keys for the Empower. It was some sort of encryption thing, some sort of security thing, and they licensed it for so many years, and the license ran out. So now you can't even, you know, even if you had the files, you can't update the
Empower. You can't update it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's ends up being a little baffling. And it's one of those things like, all right, when you're going to do a secure system like that, you kind of create these little, and yeah, it's going to be an issue for 0.1%. But you know, it is an issue for some people.
Give them a month or two to figure things out. And Right. Luckily there will be a generous, which we don't know what generous means just yet, but, there will be trade-in opportunities if you kind of have said, okay, Yeah. This is end of life and really can't repair it. So can I have a trade-in, towards a newer unit?
I guess it depends on your definition of generous.
Exactly.
But
Here you go, $100 toward the price of an Apex.
There you go. But we hope not the only product to be sunset. Now, here's another one. Remember Megadots?
Yeah, you know what? I never used it, but there were people who were just absolute rabid Megadots enthusiasts.
Yeah, see, you know, you can still buy Megadots. I didn't, you know, I mean, I guess, and that's why they still sold it, right? So Duxbury bought the Braille Planet, formerly Raise.Dot Computing, in 1999. Usually when you buy your competing product, you don't keep making it for another 16 years.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive on its own.
Agreed.
And they had a loyal following, and they knew they just didn't want to dump all those people into Duxbury. They could have easily dumped them all into Duxbury a long time ago. But they chose not to, and they kept Megadots going. But UEB was the downfall, because that's a major programming challenge.
Yeah, to kind of redo, and I can see why they wouldn't undertake that.
I can too. Now, they're supporting it for another year. So you get one more year of tech support, and again, we don't know what their trade-in, whatever, offer is going to be. Maybe we'll try to get some details on that. But you, if you bought Megadots recently, which seems kind of odd, but if you did, they're going to reach out to you. And you can get a new version. That's like the end of an era, though. Megadots was around. I think I used it for DOS at one point.
Yeah.
Back in the early 90s.
Back in high school days for me, I believe we had Megadots and not Duxbury. But I don't remember using it. I just remember we had it.
Yeah. I tried it very briefly. But I think I ended up just using Duxbury. Or maybe it was NFB Trans back in
the
day.
Yes. Yep,
I one of the many.
Very definitely remember using that, and then they did a Windows port of it.
I'm pretty sure I wasn't translating PowerPoints with it.
No, probably not.
That's interesting. Okay, so the Vario Ultra, which already has won all sorts of acclaim from lots of people, as far as what they can do with a Braille display, and definitely kind of, you know, forging some new paths and doing some new things, and it's like I said, a lot of positive reviews. Some new features, a PowerPoint viewer in a Braille display. That's interesting.
Yeah, so HIMSS has done this before with the U2 line, and you could view PowerPoints using that. Now you're able to do that as well with the Vario Ultra, which is really kind of cool because it is not a full-fledged note taker. It is a Braille display with some very basic note-taking functions, and this was kind of an interesting addition. Glad to see it, though. The other thing that they've done is introduce Bluetooth affinity, meaning that before now, you could pair up to these five devices, but you wouldn't necessarily know what channel they were going to be on, and you can switch between channels with hotkeys, but yep. It wasn't as convenient because you couldn't just say, you know, let's switch to channel 3 because I know my iPhone's on it. Now that will
it was kind of like a first in, first out.
Yes.
It will give you the next available slot.
Right, exactly. And
I haven't tested the Smart Beetle to see how, I think it probably had the same issue. But again, yeah. We'll work on it and see, you know, because that's, you know, you're right. You know, what's the point of this fast user switching? You know, it'd be like, you know, all right, we're going to turn on, turn on the Tonight Show. It's on one of these six channels. You know, like the TV
guide. You'll find it soon enough, right. You know.
Area tonight, somewhere between channels 6 and 11. You know? So, yeah, I mean, it's a trivial little thing, but it kind of negates the whole purpose of the fast device switching if you don't know what channel the device is on in the first place. And if you just have, like, two things, it isn't a big deal. But if you, yeah. say, have three or four, you know, that certainly can be a deal. And then,
yeah, it's nice to know where it's going to be.
Are these out now, or is that a forthcoming?
The firmware is not out just yet, but it will be by the time convention rolls around. Baum will, of course, be at NFB and ACB, and I will be working with Baum in the ACB booth. So if you are attending that show, come on by. Yeah,
go say hi to Rich Ricky in Dallas, or go say hi to Ian Bradburn of Baum UK. So this is actually starting July 1st. You can, if you're going to Site Village, you might be there. And another regional Baum office, this time in the United Kingdom. We started the U.S. office. They started the U.S. office last year with David Bradburn. Mm-hmm. And now Ian's going to start a UK office. So kind of, obviously it seems like it was successful. Their strategy of doing more localized offices seemed to be working for them, because if they're doing it again, and you know, Ian has worked a lot for Sight. He worked for Sight and Sound for many years. And then I was looking at his profile. He was selling and marketing jerky.
Very interesting.
So, if
it'd be interesting
promotions,
to see him selling both things. Come on in for Braille displays and jerky.
And jerky. I want to see if there's any sort of promotion. I want to buy a Braille display and get like a free pound of jerky promotion. Come on, Ian.
I like this idea.
wouldn't it be awesome?
Yeah.
That would be great. We've got a few other little things that have kind of happened over the past couple of weeks. One that you may have seen, the update to the Trekker Breeze Plus from Humanware is now out. We did a little bit of coverage at CSUN, talking to Greg Stilson about that. Essentially a new GPS chip in that unit, so fixes the fix issue, as in GPS fix, with the Trekker Breeze. And you can send yours in for about a couple $100, and then they'll send you back one with a new GPS chip, which really turns into a whole new unit, because that's huge.
It's a big
making
deal.
It work in, you know, inside buildings, even, you know, not entirely, but like by windows and things, and then, you know, in urban environments, urban canyons, as they put them often, you know, we got that going on. And then there we go again, the BBcast surveys of the week, two of them this time, one on accessible fitness equipment, which has been talked about before, but a big thing, exercise machines and touch screens and things like that. And of course, so we know with Blind Alive, it's always definitely, you know, we're trying to do what we can to make fitness more accessible. And one on remote assistance apps, especially Be My Eyes. It's actually not the Be My Eyes people themselves, but a university in Stuttgart, Germany, who is trying to do some research to see the effectiveness of Be My Eyes. So if you've used them, we've linked to both of them on our site. And so a few other older stories as we were doing Apple and Android that you may have heard about, just in case you haven't, though. We'll kind of just run through these quickly, starting with Winston Chen, who we've talked to before. And VoiceDream Mail, an email app for people who drive and for blind people. Have you tried this yet? Or I haven't tried this specifically.
I haven't. I think it might be kind of a neat concept, because you can just do gestures to move to next and previous and all of that stuff, rather than needing to find buttons and so on. And I actually think it will be more useful for people who are on their way to work, and I wouldn't necessarily say driving, because I don't know how safe that'll be, but, well, you know, some sort of eyes-free access. I mean, you're not having to look at anything. You're having it read to you. And it could actually be using the Sharon voice that was that's now available from Acapella,
which was an MVDA, I believe, or and it's definitely kind of made its rounds. I think we talked about it a little bit earlier. Sharon Acapella, we did a sample of it back when, and they definitely have a huge variety of voices. So if you have any of the Voice Stream apps, I assume you can use the voices all the way across any of those now, right? You could with Reader and Writer. Now you can do it with Mail. So interesting. And we're going to talk more with Chris in a little bit about voice and the future of that. It's really kind of an interesting segue to that. So we'll explore we're going to explore voice recognition and voice apps a little more a little later in the show.
Yes. And in the meantime, if you are one of those who is using Zoom Text for Mac or you've been thinking about doing so, there's a subscription service for it now. So rather than needing to buy the software outright, you can get it for $20 a month from AI Squared.
So you get Zoom Text. Do you get like the cam reader and other things like that along with the,
So I think it's just the Zoom Text for Mac without all the little add-on thingies.
Yeah. So it's an these are interesting. These subscription, software as a service is kind of what they're called. Offerings, and it goes back to you could buy system access as a service for a long time, and then but of course the upside is you don't pay much per month. The downside is you're paying every month forever. So I guess different budgets, different folks, different strokes, right? I guess. And how do you having the option, I think if you having the option of both is good.
Agreed. If you want to own it and then pay for upgrades when those happen, you can do that. And if you want to just, I'm using it now and then I'm leaving for 3 months and my Mac is at home, so I'm not using it then or whatever. It's good to have that kind of flexibility. I'm sure that at some point during NFB or ACB, we'll be talking to the folks from AI Squared, and they may mention something about this. If you're looking to keep up with the conventions via Twitter, they each now have their hashtag.
Yeah, ACB changed theirs.
Yeah, because I think there was another convention that was using ACB 15. So this is going to be ACB Con 15 is what they, I think, have settled.
I'm trying to see what this is. Because most of these aren't in English. Someone says, anyone have ACB 15 results? Russian, MMA, USF, UFC. There really hasn't been anything ACB 15 in 3 months, though. So whatever, they chose ACB Con. So if you're thinking, there will be some people that will use ACB 15. So now you're probably going to have to follow both.
Yeah, so you can have a couple of buffers open. Yeah.
Then somebody will use ACB 2015.
Yeah, there's always helps, that risk.
But it is good. And that ACB National did this because I know NFB's done it for a while. It is good for the organizer of an event to publish the unofficial hashtag. So at least you can say you tried because, it's just a lot easier to follow. And of course, hashtag NFB 15.
I like
Orlando.
That hashtag.
That's
you just reach into the hashtag and draw a name.
Yes. Oh, man. NFB 15 Orlando. And you can follow the 75th NFB convention. And I will be. And AT guys will be there as well as we exhibit. And we'll be part of the NFB tweet up, which we're helping to organize over there. So wherever you are, you'll find some people, one of us or, many of your other friends. Of course, you can follow along on Twitter as well. Coming up after the break, we have an interview with Chris Morey. Chris has a company called Conversant Labs who has made a program called Say Shopping. And it's a way that you can shop with your voice. That's The Secret Sound and much more. Stay tuned to episode 20.
Hims is proud to present Smart Beetle, our ultra-portable 14-cell braille display. Smart Beetle is pocket-sized and packed with power. Smart Beetle can connect to 6 devices simultaneously, flip between your iPhone, computer, and other screens without having to reconnect. And Smart Beetle, through its Bluetooth keyboard emulator, allows you to write in contracted braille on items such as Android devices that otherwise wouldn't support it. Want to know more? Call Hims at 888-520-4467 or visit our website at www.hims-inc.com. Hims, Your needs are our solutions.
Welcome back, episode number 20, milestone, I guess, of sorts, of the Blind Bargains cast with a Q. And it's been a little while since we've had an interview section or segment or whatever you call it here. But this week, we are proud to be joined by Chris Morey. Chris Morey is from Conversant Labs and who has developed a brand and an app. The brand's called Say Apps, and the first app is called Say Shopping. And he's going to hear and tell us about it and show us the app. So, Chris, welcome to the BBcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into all this?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm relatively new to the whole accessibility scene. I only started getting involved about 3 or 4 years ago when I found out that I was going blind. I was diagnosed with a genetic disorder that would leave me legally blind in the next 3 to 5 years or so. And as my vision got worse, I started looking at all the tools and technologies that were out there. And I was pretty disappointed with what was there and where the directions that things were going, and so set out to build the tools that I thought I was going to need.
What were you doing before you became legally blind, and still kind of related to what you're doing now? Or
yeah, so I was out in the Bay Area doing product management for a few tech startups. So okay. This is kind of my background. Yeah.
So you're still in tech. Actually, you're talking to us here from a co-working space right now, and so obviously you develop apps. I'm assuming did you program this app here yourself or?
So I built the first really, really janky prototype, but I have two guys working with me who've done everything since then. Yeah, I think it's very descriptive of the quality of the code.
It's the perfect word for the rough prototype. So you've been into assistive technology a little bit, but this is an interesting idea here. It's called Say Shopping, and so it's a shopping app for the blind. Or I'll let you go ahead and describe what do you have here.
Yeah, so that's exactly right. It's a fully voice-driven shopping application where we designed from the beginning for a non-visual experience. So you speak to the app and then the app speaks back to you, whatever you're shopping for, and you can go through that entire experience non-visually. And really it's coming from this idea that we shouldn't be building assistive applications for the visually impaired by taking all of the work that's been done for sighted people, all the effort that goes into those, and only then kind of translating that visual application into audio, but really starting from the very beginning with a non-visual experience. And we think that the best way to do that is by creating these conversational apps.
And we'll talk about that, I think, a little more in a minute, because that's a very interesting topic about specialized apps versus mainstream apps and things like that. Instead of talking about this, why don't we just dive right in and you can show us a little bit of how this thing works.
Yeah, definitely. Let me get it up and going. Is there anything in particular you guys are shopping for?
If you're pieing, yes. Ricky, you need a lot of... what are you looking
for? What am I looking for? Right now, I'm looking for coffee.
Okay. Yeah, we can definitely do that.
It's a good good coffee, though.
Good coffee, yes. We're not looking
Folgers. I'm not sure if we can filter by reviews or something. Or organic coffee.
I feel like this
coffee.
Is a test to see if I know good coffee from bad.
Well, no. I'm just okay. This gets like, you know, good, fair trade, organic or something, you know. I don't know. See what you can...
Yeah, so all of the products that we're selling right now are available from Target.com. And because we needed really special access to... their products and services in order to release an entirely non-visual application, something that other retailers weren't able or weren't willing to provide. So with that kind of partnership, we are limited to the products that they are able to sell. So coffee is available, but
I'm not sure how much they have. Yeah.
Right.
Actually, they have a pretty, they have a decent selection of coffee. So we could look for Green Mountain Coffee?
I believe it. I will search for Green Mountain Coffee. But, you know, as a warning, it'll be listed and you'll be able to hear about it. But they most likely won't deliver it to the home. And so we're not going to enable you to purchase that at this time.
Oh, okay.
So with Target.
Whatever shall I do for my coffee?
Yeah. Not right now, but in the future, in-store pickup. So you'd be able to order it and then go to the Target. But let's see.
Let's search for that. And then if there's maybe we could find another product that will... we can deliver to
Yeah, there we go. Sounds
maybe
great.
A coffee maker, grinder.
Oh, I bet they have those.
Say Shopping.
Okay, here we go.
Say shopping. Say shopping. To search for a product, tap on the microphone and say search, then the name of the product you are looking for. You can also tap and say help for other helpful tips. You are currently on the microphone button.
Search for coffee. Oh, Green Mountain Coffee. We'll see how it handles that.
Showing results for coffee, Green Mountain Coffee. 1. Okay. Green Mountain Coffee Breakfast Blend Keurig K-Cups 18 CT.
Oh, they ship Keurig K-Cups. Yeah.
And they will ship them.
Yes, perfect.
Green Mountain Coffee Dark Magic Keurig K-Cups 18 CT.
Okay, so Ricky's address is...
$3. Keurig Green Mountain Coffee Redacted. Island Coconut Light Roast Coffee K-Cups 18 CT. On sale $9.99.
All right, if I want those...
To select an item, tap on the microphone and say the name or number of the item you are looking for.
Okay, that's why. So
it
gives you a number.
If you are looking for, try searching with a different keyword.
So I want number
3.
You
can tap and say help for other helpful tips.
I'm sorry, now I'm speaking for Ricky. But.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So you can specify the name or the number. Since all of these are pretty much have the same name, it's a lot easier to specify it by the number.
The number.
And so we could use VoiceOver to navigate to it, or we could just say...
okay, so you don't have to use your voice. You could do it either way.
Very good.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly right.
Microphone button.
I'll take number 3. Oh, bonk. Select number 3.
Keurig Green Mountain Coffee Island Coconut Light Roast Coffee K-Cups 18 CT. On sale $9.99. Type, coffee pod serving size, 1.0 pckg servings per container, 1.0 containers per package, 18.0 total volume, 144.0 ounces, form, ground flavor, coconut beverage type, brewed coffee roast, light roast bean type, Arabica beans compatible with, Keurig 2.0, Keurig K-Cup, Keurig.
I'm assuming you can skip all this.
This item by saying purchase
or add to cart. So you can interrupt it at any
time. Reviews for this product. You can tap and say help for other helpful tips.
Do you have to tap the microphone? Is there any way, you know how you can do Hey Siri and it will pop up?
So right now it's tap to activate, and you can use Magic Tap to do that as well.
Okay.
And that's, yeah, in the
two-finger double tap that a lot of people would use on for playing
exactly.
And pausing and things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in the future, we definitely want to support always listening. It's a little more challenging to get that to work. Because
Magic
Tap
is a good compromise, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like that.
But, you know, you can imagine for something like a newsreader or a recipe application where not having to touch the screen would be a huge benefit. So that's definitely something that we're looking into.
Okay. So should we, I'm assuming it works like this all the way through, right? Obviously, you're probably not going to actually purchase this in the demo, but so you can just keep going and you can check out the reviews and...
Right. You can check out the reviews, which there aren't any for this particular item. You can save it for later. You could add it to your cart. Or we could search for something else as well.
It would strike me because you visually just saw that there's no reviews, but the voice didn't tell me that.
Yeah, so it's the lack of information in this case. So usually when there are reviews, it'll say the name of the product, the price, 4 out of 5 stars from five reviewers. Yeah.
Okay, but it didn't say that, even though
right.
So the only possible matter is the extra prompt about reviews. But of course, there's also a pre-1.0 version and little tweaks like that can be made. And
yeah, exactly. So, there's a lot of room for improvements. Mm-hmm. But there's also this kind of overriding design decision for this first version, which we can reevaluate as we get feedback.
Sure.
But, conversational and audio-based applications, the way you consume that information is totally different than visual apps. So where... visual shopping web page will put as much information as possible on the screen, related products, people also bought this, which is really easy for sighted users to skim to the most important information, which you can't really do with a audio-based application.
All right, so what other features does the app have? And
so you can search, you can sort by specific departments, so you can look specifically in clothing or pets or home goods, home and garden, entertainment, things like that. You can save your credit card and shipping information for future purchases. So after you enter it the first time, all you do is say buy, confirm the order, and that's it. So it's a
do
really
you save that or
really
does Target
fast.
Save that?
We do locally on the device and only if you ask us to.
Okay. Oh, and so it actually saves it on, it's encrypted on the device as opposed to on your server?
Exactly. Yeah. So the only information that's of personal information that we take is email for Target to send you an order confirmation and for us for, app updates and things like that, which you'd be able to opt out of.
It's really interesting that, so Target is an interesting choice to me. I'm not sure. Yeah, Target's been in kind of the forefront of some legal wranglings here and there with the NFP and some others about the accessibility of their website. Did they have something to do with why they ended up getting picked here? What's the relationship between you and them?
Yeah, so we were searching and spent a long time searching for a retail partner that would give us access to be able to make purchases. No retailer does that right now. If you are another website or another company working with a retailer like Amazon or Walmart, if you want to sell their products, you send them to their checkout experience or their shopping cart experience.
Yep.
So it took a really deep level of integration that really Target was very eager to do because of accessibility and because they've learned how important
that is. That may have prodded them a bit.
Yeah,
you know, in the past.
It's really jumped them into gear. They're putting a lot of resources into accessibility, and they've been hugely supportive. Like, this project wouldn't have happened if not for their accessibility team.
Gotcha. So what's the relationship between you and Target? Because obviously, SayApps has to be a profitable venture for you.
Right. So this is, like you're saying, an early build and is really an experiment to see this type, you know, how an app experience like this performs. They're as curious about that as we are. You know, we have this larger vision for what conversational applications can be, but shopping is definitely important to us because it's one of these everyday quality of life tasks. So with Say Shopping, we earn a percentage of every sale that's made in the app.
Yep.
So it's free to download.
Sure. So the app is free, and it's about to be. Depending on when the show gets released, it's in the review process, I guess, right now, right? You never know.
Yeah.
You know how long it's going to take. Hopefully soon, and it'll be available right now on the iPhone. How is any other platforms you're looking at? Are you going to stick to the iPhone for now?
So iPhone, iPad for now. We're looking at Android, but we might. You know, the Echo is a really interesting platform as well.
Ooh. Is that available? Does Amazon allow a competing thing like that?
So shopping, probably not. We haven't. We would have to port the app for the Amazon Echo's platform.
Buy this thing from Target.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But you know, our goal. We not only do we have this Say Shopping app, but we have this SDK, this software development kit for developers to make their apps conversational. So we want to support the most interesting voice platforms. And Apple is really important because of the blind community and the visually impaired community that's on there. But the Echo is really the most interesting platform right now when it comes to conversational experiences.
Do you think there's any appeal outside the blindness community for apps like this? I think people enjoy talking to their devices and having them talk back. It feels a little bit futuristic, and it's different than pointing and clicking for shopping. Do you foresee anyone who doesn't necessarily rely on speech using this?
Absolutely. I really think that conversational experiences are going to be hugely appealing to kind of the mainstream consumer market, especially as platforms like the Echo become more popular. You know, the watch, the Apple Watch is one of these first things where you have Siri or a voice-driven experience accessible just by turning looking at your wrist. And so as more and more of these platforms become popular, voice is going to be a larger and larger part of how we interact with those. So the tools that developers need to build those experiences, those don't exist yet. So that's what we're really interested in building.
I mean, and looking forward, as far as, you know, the long-term strategy of this too, right now, when you look at Siri or Google Now or Amazon Echo, as you mentioned, they all have made mentions about how they're going to open themselves up to third parties, and they've all done it to a very limited degree at the moment. You know, we know it's coming. How does that affect you going forward? You know, as they all have their APIs, or they're going to open them up to third party apps and things like that. How will you integrate? Will you compete with?
Integrate, absolutely. So the more that they open up their experiences, whether it's Siri or Google Now or the Echo, the easier it is for people to open the door to this conversational experience. But what they don't have, and what they probably won't have for an even longer time, is the tools for those developers. You know, once they have someone using the app through voice, the tools for them to kind of build an experience around that. This is getting kind of in the weeds, but you know, the analogy that we make is there are all these frameworks for visual applications. You know, when you build an app, you aren't saying create a line of pixels here and color them green. You say, you know, I want a button or I want a label. There's all of these high level interactions are very common in visual applications that are really easy to add to an application. There's nothing like that for voice.
Essentially, yeah. Like if you want, they're going to open up Siri at some point, but you know, someone's going to have to write the code to get Siri to talk to thousands of apps and, you know, kind of do some of that, you know, in between, you know, work.
Exactly.
Kind of, you know, bridge the gap. And then you feel like you know, you're definitely positioning yourself.
Right. Exactly.
To be
right
there. Yeah. And you'd mentioned other possibilities, obviously. The shopping is kind of your demo, your beginning app. And you'd mentioned a couple before the show. You have some other ideas you're looking at for some future ideas for this?
Yeah. So, you know, the first app that I really wanted to build, because it was the pain that I felt most, is a news app. You know, I was a huge Google Reader user back when it existed. Mm. And as my vision got worse, I just wanted to be able to say, you know, read me the New York Times, read me Hacker News or whatever, and have it read back to me. So that's an app that I really want to build. And talking with people, you know, people who are losing their vision from aging-related disorders, you know, reading the newspaper is one of the first things that they miss. So creating a really easy and accessible means of gaining that access to that content back would be really cool. That's an example. Something like a recipe application might be one of these things that's useful for people who have visual impairments, but also might have some mainstream appeal. Your hands are usually busy. You don't want to be looking or touching your phone with, you know, food ingredients all over your
hands.
Oh, yeah.
You can say, and there's like, one where you'd want to get the, you know, not having to tap the microphone and get like the keyboard.
Very much so.
Working.
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly like, right. So you just
now
say,
what? Oh. Come
back at you. That's good. Like, how many eggs did I need? What's the temperature in the oven? Like, all of these things would be
that would be
so
really
great.
Cool. You just ask it all these parts because it's always that. It's like one part. Like, I'll remember.
You just
the
forget. Yeah,
it's one ingredient. But instead of just saying that, you know, what's next? If that's actually a really good point. If you could just ask it like data point questions about the recipe and have it figure like kind of determine.
Yeah,
then that should be pretty simple. Looking, you know, most recipes it's usually numeric value. Something of something, you know, so it's a pretty easy thing to parse.
Yeah. And yeah. So that's something we're really looking at as, so, you know, we're releasing Say Shopping, you know, in the next week. The next big product release is the tools that we use to build Say Shopping. And when we release those, we want to have some other demo applications. So I think that recipe is one that we're really excited about. And another, I think, to help spur interest in the developer community is maybe building. Are you guys familiar with Slack, the chat application?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we might build an integration with that and just get all of your Slack chats in one place. And then there's so many other services that integrate with Slack, like Asana, the project task manager, or GitHub, and all these things. So just by building a Slack app, you would have access to all these other services.
So we were kind of having this discussion a little bit before the show, Ricky and I were, and you were actually mentioned it a little bit as well, as far as the idea of creating specifically voice-driven apps versus trying to take an existing application and make sure it's all, you know, completely accessible. And I mean, I'm sure in certain situations there's advantages to doing either one or both. But what do you think led you more down this road? Is it especially because of the blind and visually impaired market, or is it because you see this conversation as the next big thing and, you know, we start with blindness and then move on to anybody?
Yeah, the latter. It really is. I really strongly believe that conversation is going to be driving the way that everyone interacts with their devices, but that market doesn't really exist yet. But it's the blind and visually impaired who can benefit from the most from this type of experience today. And it's really like for the first time probably ever, we have the opportunity of getting ahead of the kind of design curve and ensuring that the way that everyone uses a device is accessible from the beginning, rather than having to, you know, go back in after the fact and hack in all of these kind of accessibility or accommodations after it's already been built.
It's fun to be at the forefront of that, isn't it? You know, it's definitely voice recognition is a category that's still, there's lots of experimentation going on. We mentioned Hound on the last show, which is another, mm-hmm. you know, great little voice assistant that has potential, but still, you know, needs some work. And a lot of these kind of have a lot of potential. Probably could use some refinement, but it's really kind of cool to
I'm
follow.
I'm sad I wasn't there for that conversation.
Yeah, it's an interesting little, have you seen it? Have you played with it?
Yeah, I wrote a pretty long response to the demo. It's really impressive, all the referencing of pronoun, that's the word I was looking for. All the pronoun referencing, like the capital of the city where this this space needle is really, really impressive.
Yeah.
The mortgage calculator thing, very easy to reproduce. And the question is, you know, that type of interaction is important, but how often are you asking questions like that?
That's a once in your life. It's a once in a lifetime thing, right? Yeah, to figure out the mortgage on your home.
Right. And what's really gonna take, you know, voice based assistants or from like this niche thing like Siri or Google Now into being like a primary way of interacting with applications is the support for third party apps. Like you need to be able to interact with any application that you download in a meaningful way. And that's something that no one's doing right now.
You know, it's almost, I'm just kind of thinking, it's almost like right now our voice assistants are really more voice librarians.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you look at most of, you know, they can do a few things. They can send a text or something, but for the most part, it's, you know, it's so early. And definitely look forward to following the development of this. The app's going to come out, like I said, any day now. And so I need to tell people how they can find that or get a hold of you, or what's your website?
Yeah, so the website is sayapps.com, and there'll be a link to download it there, or you can keep an eye out on my Twitter feed, @cmaury, C-M-A-U-R-Y, or, you know, send me an email at chris@conversantlabs, and I'll let you know when it's available.
Awesome. And, of course, we'll put the Twitter and the website and all that in the show notes, as well as a link. And we'll post the app as well on Blind Bargains when it is released. So
awesome.
Thanks, Chris, for coming on the show, and definitely look forward. I'm sure maybe we'll have you back at some point as you have more of these Say apps developed, and we'll definitely follow your progress.
Awesome. Thanks. I appreciate you having me.
Coming up a lot more on BBcast number 20, a tip and a giveaway, the secret sound, coming up soon. Stay tuned.
Mystic Access is pleased to introduce our comprehensive audio tutorial on the HumanWare New Generation Victor Reader Stream. This tutorial is a fully navigable DAISY 3 book and is over 8 hours and 10 minutes in duration. Learn to successfully navigate within each offline and online bookshelf. Configure your Wi-Fi connection. Discover how to use the Bard and Bookshare functionality. Find out how to transfer content, use bookmarks, set sleep timers, and so much more. Each bookshelf is thoroughly covered within its own section, so that you can easily and intuitively find the material which most interests you. There is also time devoted to using Audible, and you can learn to use the HumanWare Companion with your stream. Through June 21st, use the coupon code BBQ in all lowercase at checkout to save 10% site-wide. Mystic Access looks forward to empowering you in using your assistive technology efficiently while having fun doing it. Please visit today at www.mysticaccess.com, where the magic is in learning.
You've waited for it.
Now, here it is. Your chance to win a free power cube from speeddots.com with the BBQ secret sound.
Secret sound.
Yes, you heard it, folks. That's right. Another Blind Bargains contest. You can win things, free stuff from us, and also courtesy of Speed Dots. Thanks so much, speeddots.com. You can get tactile screen protectors, and you can get other cool things, and you can get power cubes. You ever seen one of these, Ricky? These are really cool.
I have seen one of them, and I really want one. I haven't gotten one yet, but I will be getting one soon. I know I can't win. Ever
you are
so
not
sad.
Allowed to.
I'll start a Kickstarter to fund, even though they are very reasonably priced.
They're under $50, but you can win one for free. So it's a whole bunch of outlets, but the cool thing is they're on the side of the power, the cube, if you were, even though the cube is flat. Ish, but the outlets are on the sides. They're very spread out from each other. So you have all these phone chargers and big things.
Yeah, really weird out. Adapters that are all big.
So you can plug in a whole bunch of the things, or USB stuff. There's some USB ports right on there too. And it's pretty light too. So you can just carry it around with you. And great for hotels. Especially if you have a roommate, you're always fighting over the outlets.
Yes.
Always. Always. But so you want to win this thing. You need to identify the Blind Bargain secret sound. In fact, all we need you to do is to identify the person making this sound. Take a listen. There you go. Got it? Simple, right? I'll give you a hint. This is actually really simple. It is someone that you have heard on a Blind Bargains cast. So there's only 20 of them, right? Plus a couple specials and a bunch of interviews.
Yeah, so you've reduced your number of people. Considerably.
Right. You just need to see the first name. All I ask for is a first name of the person that you heard hear it a couple more times. Just keep playing it. Patrick, yeah, just keep, put it on a loop or something. I don't know, you know, whatever you want to do. You know, Patrick just cut this out and he didn't realize we were going to turn it into a contest, but you know, that's what I do. So what we need you to do, go to this episode's show notes. Okay, so you're going to go to either the Blind Bargains website or go through the app and go for the page or the link that says Blind Bargains Cast 20, whatever we decided to title this. And on there will be a link to a form that you can fill out and you can tell us the answer. And we do need your email address as well. Otherwise, we will have no way of contacting you. So go ahead and do that. The Secret Sound, let's hear it again. Secret Sound. And you can win a Power Cube courtesy of speeddots.com. You have on to Sunday, June 28th at 11:59 Eastern. One entry per person. Other regular rules apply. Of course, if you work for us, you can't win things from us. Sorry. That's just how it works. But we'll run this contest for a little while. If you're listening to this after June 28th, sorry, but go get a current show. Maybe there's another contest waiting for you. Who knows?
Good luck.
Blind Bargains. Secret Sound. There you go. And you can win from Blind Bargains. Let's do sound off and much more coming up. But first, a tip.
One of the best things about owning your own home is the joy of mowing your lawn. Wait, you don't like mowing your lawn? Well, luckily there are people out there who do enjoy that sort of thing, and they like to get paid for it as well. The challenge is in finding them. That's why there are services like TaskEasy.com. There are places such as Amazon who do this sort of thing as well, but the advantage of TaskEasy is that it seems to cover the widest geographic area. So how does it work? Visit TaskEasy.com and enter your service address. This helps TaskEasy not only find out where you are, but how big your yard is. Yeah, it's a little bit creepy, but it does use Google Maps along with other data to calculate the square footage of your lawn. If you already somehow, for some reason, know the square footage of your lawn, you can enter that manually, but it looks like TaskEasy was pretty accurate in calculating the square footage of my lawn. So once TaskEasy knows where you are and how big your lawn is, it's time to choose your lawn mowing plan. There are plans such as once a week lawn mowing, once every 2 week lawn mowing, and a couple of others. You can enter information such as the fact that your lawn is really overgrown and might require a little extra attention the first time someone mows it. The cool thing is that as you're choosing your plan, prices are already displayed, so you're not going to get any big surprises when the contractor arrives. Now that you've chosen what you want, it's time to pay. You can do that by PayPal or credit card, which is way more convenient than having cash on hand for the neighborhood kid. Your first payment is a fee that is kept on hand until the end of the season, at which time it can be used to pay for your last service, or it can be refunded. If you cancel any time before the end of the season, you forfeit that initial fee. Now that TaskEasy has all your information, it's time for them to schedule your task. They'll find contractors in your area and make sure that they have been background checked and make sure that they do have insurance, so you don't have to worry about that. Once your contractor has been located, your task will be scheduled. You'll get an email 24 hours ahead of time letting you know that the task will occur the next day. Once the contractor arrives and does what he or she needs to do, you'll get an email containing pictures of the contractor's work. You can forward that email to someone so that they can look it over for you and verify that all looks good, or you can just go walk around in your yard and make sure that things have been done to your satisfaction. If you agree that the contractor has done a great job, you can follow the accept link in the email, in which case your card will be charged the appropriate amount and the contractor will get paid. If you don't like the contractor's work, you can let TaskEasy know with the decline button and they'll send that contractor or another out to fix whatever has gone wrong at no extra charge to you. Once you're satisfied, use the accept button and again, the contractor will get paid. The contractor will continue to visit you on the schedule you've agreed upon, say once every week or once every couple of weeks, and each time you'll receive an email letting you know that the contractor will be arriving the next day. And that's all there is to it. Visit www.taskeasy.com and sit back and relax while someone else takes care of your lawn.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Thank you all for your feedback. We always get a lot on Twitter and a little bit on the website. Dark Nexus always commenting on our website. We do appreciate it. Commenting on the NLS Android Bard post. First says, about time. I agree. I've been waiting for this for a while now. So can't think, and I think the team on the Android app care a little more about quality than the iPhone version. Well, but it says the app is well designed, and it says it runs like a champ on their Moto G. Has a little issue with the headset buttons not working. Doesn't work to play and pause, and
that comes up
sometimes on Android apps. So Android and iPhone have slightly different standards for interacting with those little headset buttons. It's a really interesting, like, there's some interesting little things there. I think some of it's with the mics and things like that. But anyway, the app is available, and you can get it now for your Android, or of course you can get it for your iPhone as well. Some tweets at Blind Bargains. Ali Musa, is that how you say that? Right, so we're going with.
Yep, I believe so. Ali Musa.
Just saying, I hope Buddy will be back on the show in the future. And we had a lot of fun with Buddy last week. That was great. Buddy and Jamie doing a little bit of Apple, and I had to play along, but it was all right.
you didn't blow up or anything.
No.
Universe didn't explode. Nope.
No, not this time. Had some comments on UEB. We're going to talk a lot more about UEB, and we're talking a lot about Braille at DuckTale, pointing out that LibLewis, which is a Braille library that works with NVDA, isn't even updated for UEB yet. And I'm curious, you know, is there still other assistive technology that's not updated? Because we mentioned Megadots, and that's where this conversation started on Twitter. And so if there's still more things, it's kind of running down to the wire now. If you have other software that doesn't update to UEB, it's going to be a problem for some people. So we'll see if we can do a little survey and a little more deep dive into that. It may have to wait till after the convention. So I'm going to get really busy. But definitely UEB is not a topic that we will forget. It's definitely going to be a big part, I think, of some of the future shows that we're doing here. UEB versus Nemeth. Alex asking about that. That's another one. Different states have different standards on that. It's
really?
Not even the same state. Yeah, like some states are sticking with Nemeth, and some are doing UEB and the UEB math. And some states do both. Yeah, as a transcriptionist, it's just confusing. Really, really confusing.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
Finally, Buddy. He says, crowdfund for Buddy to get a Knut.
Cheaper Braille displays, and now he wants somebody to fund one for him. But hey, can't blame a guy for trying.
Can't Kickstarter, it's not allowed. You can do a GoFundMe.
Okay, yeah, that's actually true. You yeah, a lot that. Of people doing GoFundMe for, like, I want to go, you know, visit a family member or whatever. So you can do one of those for just about anything.
There you go. So there you go. Once again, like I said earlier, while you're commenting on show 20, look for that Secret Sound survey as well. And you can win things and also comment on show 20. Hey, Blind Bargains 2.0 is coming out. And it's in the review process as we're recording right now. So it may or may not have been released by the time you hear this. But it's coming very soon. It's all iOS 8 sexified and you know, woohoo, modified and everything. Michael Dwyce, who has been on the show before, has updated the app for iOS 8 and added a whole bunch of cool things. And it kind of mirrors the site as it is now with a news tab and deals and classifieds like that. So watch out for that. And, of course, we will post far and wide when that comes out. So Blind Bargains 2.0. That being said, we just have a couple of stories that don't fit anywhere else, and I don't even have a funny name for it, but yes, it is the leftovers, the last word-ish, and they don't end up being as weird this week, because I had to pick them myself.
And usually, I'm chock full of weird news stories, you know, and I don't have anything either.
Well, you can always look at the Florida Man Twitter. You really want to go for the crazy stuff. What's up with Blind Onion's gotten a little quiet lately?
I noticed that.
I miss you.
Yeah, come on. And you can actually tweet your own things at
Blunion.
Blunion.
And yes, some fun stuff. But if you need a diversion, did you ever make balloon animals as a kid?
No, I am.
I was terrible at it.
I balloons, the sound that they make if you rub them or, you know, play with them, I feel like it's going to pop at any time and you don't know when. So oh, yeah. I'm a little bit leery of balloons and especially twisting them and contorting them
balloon
into strange shapes
in your face.
I would not be doing that.
Yeah, that's usually as far. So, you know, little balloon animals with the little dog legs and things, that's about as far as I would got. Like, I would make maybe one or two knots pop.
Yep. No, you won't catch me doing that. I would certainly not be making ones of reptiles. Wow. And humans.
Insects?
Insects. That's a lot of little legs to have to do if you were doing like a
centipede?
Spider or something. Yeah, oh, wow.
It's a Japanese artist who apparently is going a little crazy with balloon animals and making all of these things and more. I wish this is one
yeah,
of those.
And
I wish
he's
I could.
Doing them. Apparently, you can usually draw on them with markers, or you can put tape or things on them to do different things.
In essence,
that you
cheat,
couldn't
not use the balloon to make the animal.
Right, and so he's not doing that.
No,
it's
he's doing
just
it all
balloons.
With the balloon. Now I can't, you know, there's pictures, so I don't have descriptions of these things. I wonder, like, is he using only maybe if you use multiple balloons together? I bet you that's how some of that's happening.
Yeah, that must be it.
Because usually it's one balloon and a balloon animal, right? So maybe he's taking a whole bunch of them. We've linked to the story. If one of you who can maybe see the pictures, let us know what's going on here. Because there's a whole nice
little
tumbler.
And luckily there were not recordings of him making them because I wouldn't have been able to listen.
Oh, I would love that. I want to find a demo video of that. That'd be really cool. That would be
there's
awesome.
There's probably a word for the fear of balloons. I'll have to look that up. But yeah. Super cool that somebody's doing this.
It's usually comes from Japan, either Japan or
thanks Japan.
That is a globophobia. It looks like.
Yeah, I
is
knew
a
there
fear
had
balloons.
To be a word.
Yep, of course there is.
Yep.
Globophobia is uncommon, but sufferers include Doug Stanhope and Oprah Winfrey.
Really interesting. Good to know that there's a word for everything.
So now you know you've been diagnosed, and you can get treatment.
Excellent.
It's but you know it's they will refuse to touch or feel a balloon because for the fear it will pop. So that's exactly it. That's exactly what you described.
Yeah, but even hearing the sound of it, I wonder. That too.
Interesting. Now, I have a fear of computers crashing.
Yeah, especially if they're controlling something really crazy like a boiler that could blow sky high if it doesn't get
for
turned off.
An entire school system.
Yeah.
In a major city. And
yeah, it's a little scary.
The Grand Rapids Public School System is currently in large part being controlled by a Commodore Amiga that some high school student built in like the early 80s. They wrote the software for it, and it's still over a 1,200 baud modem. Why couldn't they at least upgrade the modem? Does the Commodore not support
it? I know, right?
Could they at least put a 2,400 in it?
And they still call the same guy if something goes wrong with it. Hey, remember that thing you did in high school?
Hey, man, we really need you still. It's broken again. They're finally looking to replace the thing. But right now, it's a very old, like the technology interferes with the maintenance radios. But hey, it still works.
Yeah.
And to create that 30 years ago, I mean, that's a pretty amazing little use of a computer.
Yeah, they were well ahead of their time then. Not so much now, but it's going to cost almost $2 million.
And that's the thing. I bet you it didn't cost that much to build it back then. And they're going to spend $2 million to replace it with something modern that you can probably do on an iPhone or something.
It's just a little scary to think of this old thing chugging along. But, you know, if it doesn't turn off the boiler,
it could go down
any
time. Yeah. And they said as soon as it goes down, everyone's going to have to control them by hand. All the schools, you know. But, you know, you hear a lot of examples of that. There's, you know, lots of big companies have so much invested in legacy systems. A lot of customer service jobs aren't accessible to blind people because they're running some antiquated DOS.
Yes.
So that is it's a real thing. It's not, you know, that's, you find that in a lot of places. That's why some of these jobs can't be accessible at this point, or at least that's, you know, the reason they give, but it's really old stuff. So it's not uncommon. You've invested millions and millions, and a lot of times the thought is, well, if it works, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Don't fix it.
You know, so it's interesting, but to see a real life story of that, it was definitely a very interesting story. And of course, pretty close to home here.
Yes, but, I thought about that.
Yeah, that's it. And I wasn't even like searching our local news sources for stories. That was over on FARC. So
well,
that popped right in.
Hopefully soon there won't be a crazy things in Michigan Twitter like there is for Florida Man.
It wouldn't surprise me. if it doesn't already exist. But it's definitely, it's been a little crazy, but hey, it's been a lot of fun this week as well. And Ricky, definitely thank you for coming back on the show at a bit of short notice, been joining us and talking about all things tech and Amiga and random sounds and things and shopping.
Absolutely. Was very happy to be here talking about my globophobia and other things.
You know, you've admitted it, and that's the first step.
That's first step. That's, so, it can only get better from here.
So you can see Ricky again in Dallas at ACB's. Don't bring your balloons.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that. But you can come by and say hi. And in the meantime, how else can people say hi to you?
Easiest way to find me is on Twitter, where I am Ricky _ Enger. That's R-I-C-K-Y _ E-N-G-E-R. So look forward to seeing you there.
And of course, you can get us through at Blind Bargains on Twitter. That's how you get the show. You can email feedback at blindbargains.com. But the fun way to do it is to go to the show notes page on the website and post your comment there, because then everyone else can see it right away and interact with it and respond to it. And don't forget also to go to blindbargains.com, look for BBcast20, and then you can enter the secret sound. Yeah, there it is, secret sound. And you can win a power cube from Speed Dots. So thank you all for listening. Once again, by the way, if you go to atguys.com, some new things over there this week. The new HIMS Blazy T is there. The Smart Beetle is there. And some other cool stuff as well. The BEM speaker bands. Those things are really cool. We finally had them in stock, among other things. And like I said before, the Aftershocks headsets in neon. So you can go to atguys.com or call 269-216-4798 for all of that. And as we get close to the convention, we will talk a little bit more about some of the new things over at AT Guys, and be sure to check that out. And again, like I said, feedback at blindbargains.com, and that's going to do it about for this week. We'll see I don't know who's going to be on next week. Not sure if Joe will be back by then. Could be Joe. It could be Patrick, or make him do a show.
I like this idea. He would have to edit himself.
I don't think so. Come on, man. You know you want to do it. Put you on the show. But thanks so much for listening. Thanks again to Chris Morey for coming on the show and talking about Say Apps and Say Shopping. Thanks also to our sponsors this week. HIMS, your needs are our solutions. You're going to go to HIMS-Inc.com. And also Mystic Access, where the magic is in learning. Remember, promotional code, coupon code BBQ gets you 10% off through the end of this week. So go check out the Victor Stream tutorial from them. So that's going to do it, folks. We will see you for the Barely Legal 21 next time for the BBcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.